Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this series of programs, we've been showing how God demonstrated His love for the world by giving His Son, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to suffer and die for us on Passover Day. And in our story, we covered Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, where it said, "Put away your sword." Put away your sword. That phrase means we should not live the way of the sword. In other words, we should not live the way of violence. God says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall be the rulers in the world tomorrow." Today, our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is against wickedness in high places, against principalities, against evil spirits, against Satan the devil and his demons. Right now, we are to learn the way of peace so that in the world tomorrow, we can teach the way of peace. And there will come a time when we shall fight against those that fight against God, but that time will be in the world tomorrow. And let's read about that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26, and let's pick it up in verse 53. And of course, this statement, "Put away your sword," was made by Jesus to Peter after Peter had cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And so now Jesus is continuing to speak to Peter and says to Peter, "Don't you realize that I could pray to my Father and have him instantly give me more than 12 legions of angels?" In other words, Jesus was saying, "If I wanted to, I wouldn't need your measly little sword. I could call down 12 legions of angels and wipe out all of these thugs that have come to get me." But Jesus was saying that this is not the time to do that. We have a lot of lessons to learn. We have a lot of growing to do before we can get to the point where we can rule the world. So Jesus was saying, this is not the time. Put away your sword and pick up a book, the sword of God, the Word of God, to learn how to kill the self, to learn how to kill sin, to learn how to destroy the devil in your life. That's what we need to do. So now let's read in John chapter 18, and verses 33 through 36 to back this up. This is John chapter 18, and verses 33 through 36. This is a little bit later in the story on Passover, but this particular section of Scripture carries the same theme. So this is when Pilate had called Jesus to him to investigate what were the charges against Jesus. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. They would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from here." My question to you, my friends, is, where is the Messiah's kingdom? The answer for that can be found in Ephesians, the first chapter, and we'll read verses 20 through 21. This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and we'll read verses 20 through 21. But keep in mind, as we're reading this, that Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." So when Jesus' kingdom is of this world, when he comes back to this earth, his second coming, to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then his servants will fight. And who are those servants? Those servants are the saints, the resurrected people who have died in Christ, and all of those who are serving Christ, who are alive at his return, and who are changed in a twinkling of an eye. So again, let's go and read Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 20 through 21, to see where the Messiah's kingdom is currently. God demonstrated his power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven, far above all principality and power and every name that has ever been or ever will be named. Notice now that a Christian goes through the same process. We can see this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. God, who is rich in mercy, demonstrated his great love for us in that while we were dead in sins, he raised us back to life through Christ and raised us up to sit in heaven with Christ. That's right, my friends, even now, as Jesus Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, we too have been raised up to sit in heaven with Christ. The Messiah's kingdom is in heaven, and so is ours. But the kingdom of God will be set up on earth with Yahweh as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We can see that in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. This is Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 18. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, because you have taken your rightful place. Your wrath against the nations is come, and it's time that they should be judged. Your judgment is that you will destroy them which destroy the earth." But this is a statement of love. God will take vengeance in love because God is love. And notice that the saints will be with the Lord. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 14, we can see this. This is in Revelation chapter 19 and verses 6 through 14. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." Now who is the wife? The wife is the church. "And to her," the church, "was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Now keep this in mind, the fine linen, which is clean and white, is the righteousness of the saints. That's important for this next section of scripture. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him." Now listen to this. "The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And didn't we read that this fine linen, clean and white, is the righteousness of the saints? So the armies are the saints. So Jesus Christ, when he comes to this earth, the second time, this time to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will come back to fight against the nations which destroy the earth and which fight against him. And not only will he fight, but the saints, the armies which are in heaven, will follow him and will fight with him. But God is love. If God is in us, we must be love. So when we come back to fight against the nations, it will be after we have learned to be peacemakers, after we have learned to be love. That's when we will be able to judge righteously. That's when we will be able to judge according to love. And now let's continue. "And when Adonai," and this is in Revelation chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. This is in Revelation chapter 5 and 7 through 10. "And Adonai came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when Adonai had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having golden vials full of perfumes, which are the prayers of the saints. And the saints sung a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals. You were slain and have redeemed us from our God, or redeemed us to our God, out of every nation and race and language, by your blood. And you have appointed us to be kings and priests of God, and we shall reign on the earth. Did you hear that, my friends? We shall be kings and priests of God, and we shall reign on the earth. So right now it's time to put away the sword. It is time to pull out the sword of God, the word of God, to learn to live by every word of God, which is a way of peace, a way of love. After we have learned that, after we have killed ourselves, crucifying ourselves daily, after we have killed the sin in our lives, after we have killed the works of the devil in our lives, then we will be ready to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, to usher in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of righteousness and love. And now let's look at God's love in the statement, the scriptures must be fulfilled, because after Jesus said, put away your sword, I can call down 12 legions of angels if I wanted to. Then he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 26, verse 54, but if I do that, I'll be blocking the scriptures from being fulfilled. And what does this mean? And how does this show the love of God? Well, since we are in this world, but not of this world, we should be doing something while we are in this world. As we said earlier, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are simply ambassadors of God for Christ while we are here on earth. That's what our job description says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 17 through 21. We'll read it. When someone is in Christ, they become a new creation. Old things have passed away. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 5 verse 8 it says that God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, so much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So when it says that back in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21, that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, it's through the death of Jesus Christ that we have been reconciled. And now through the life of Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And it says God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Understand that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And God has committed the same job of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did plead with you through our mouths. Therefore we ask you, on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. For the Father has made his Son to be sin for us, though the Son of Man never sinned himself. This was done so that we might be made the righteousness of God through the Anointed One. So those are our responsibilities as the ambassadors for Christ.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.